Yeah, you know, he really did spin a straw into gold last time, though. Dean did at Coin News 6, where they bring the news home. So I'll be curious to see what he does tonight.
We'll be talking about it, we'll be talking about it tomorrow.
503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. All right, so thank you to everybody who called in earlier this hour with the sage political commentary. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. Hey, are we actually ahead? Was that our 50 that we just took?
It actually was.
Look at that. That's fantastic.
Well, that's because we pretended to be a real radio show for at least a couple segments. It kept us going.
That included following the clock correctly, mm-hmm. actually being on schedule. All right, hold on just 1 second. There's going to be some dead air here while I drink this coffee. All right, there you go. Thank you. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We'll do the top five here. And then we'll do, we were supposed to have Roop at some point, weren't we? Wasn't Jim Roop supposed to call us?
It's true.
Bastard, what happened to him?
It could be actual news happening down there.
His first call would be to us. If that, you know, Jim Roop, here's the thing. We've got a relationship with that guy. If he was caught in a firefight, you know, his first call would be to us. So his dying breaths and words can be heard right here on the radio waves of AM 970 Solid State Radio. Well, we'll try to find out. So let's do this. Let's roll the top five. Then we will go to the city desk. We'll try to find out what happened with Roop. And I got to do this tabloid recap. We'll do that next hour as well. It's 503-733-2970. But without further ado, kids, let's roll your top five for Wednesday.
3, 2, 1, fire.
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness. Counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
Here's Tim Riley with today's top five.
And even the squeaky clean faces of yesteryear become the agent icons of today. It seems like just moments ago that Jordan Knight and the New Kids on the Block were riding high on the pop charts and making millions long for death. Can Jordan Knight actually be 36 years old? The answer is a resounding yes. And we celebrate this milestone with the top five New Kids on the Block songs of all time as counted down with the lovely Sarah Dillon.
All right, so Sarah put these together. You got to give commentary.
Okay.
I mean, Tim can give, you know, he'll announce it, but you got to give running comments.
And you can sing them with me.
Oh, it's a team effort.
No, this is...
Was I not supposed to tell?
No, I know some of these. I was a DJ. I was a top 40. You can just let that fade out if it's going to end. We'll just do a little bit. This is not going to be a technically flawless top five because I got to play all these off the computer.
And okay. There's no camera here.
No, coin is gone. I don't care. You screw it. Doesn't matter.
Okay, well, I have to say, for the honorable mention, it was a different song, but I couldn't find...
Here's how this all came together, is because I was trying to figure out what to do with it. Because we had the great top five yesterday, which was the top five Rolling Stones guitar intros. And I was putting together another one, actually. I was doing top five drum intros to a pop song last night. But I was looking at I have this little webpage that I go through sometimes. It is a list of rock and roll birthdays. You know, you figure out that you're going to commemorate somebody's birthday. And I realized that today is Jordan Knight's 36th birthday, which makes me feel freaking old. A. B. Like a loser. Because how that guy has had a life that's like 800 times better than mine, and he was a new kid. You know, everybody always says, you know, New Kids on the Block is stupid. You know, it's a thing that replicates itself about every 15 years. You know, there's a boy band that everybody hates. But you and I both know that your lame ass would change places with Jordan. Even now, even if you couldn't go back and live his glory days, if you could change places now with a 36-year-old Jordan Knight, really, like, unless you are currently, like, playing, you know, guitar for, you know, for a band that is, you know, unless you're in a band now, unless you are already a celebrity, you would change places with that guy. Because you know that just being Jordan Knight, look, let's just call it what it is, shall we? How old are you?
25?
25.
And so you know that there are, like, a billion 25-year-old chicks out there that are still hot for Jordan Knight, even after all this time.
I was a Donnie Wahlberg girl.
Okay, but I'm saying, though... In general, every girl had a favorite, and they all had their following except for Danny, the ugly one.
Yeah.
And so even I know that.
He looked like a monkey. I remember thinking when I was.
He does. He's got a and the older he got, the weirder looking he got. But even now, there's all of these girls who were like, "This." I bet this conversation happens to Jordan Knight from the New Kids a lot. I bet he hears this quite frequently. I had the biggest crush on you when I was 13.
Probably like 10 times a day.
Totally, and then it's followed by. But I'm all grown up now. You know, that's totally what
I'm not a little girl anymore.
Exactly. That's totally... you a fan letter and you never wrote back. And then he says, well, let me sign it right now. You know, and that's...
Niggas on the Block were my first concert.
Well, you know, that's what... I mean, like, Robert Plant still gets it. Like, Tori Amos told this great story in concert one time where Tori Amos was like... and let's just skip over the fact that I know a Tori Amos concert story. Where she was talking about... Like, this is like 10 years ago when Robert Plant... He was already like 100 years old. Where she was recording an album in a studio. He's recording, like, in a studio down the hall. She, like, kind of tracks him down. And she's like, oh, Robert, hi, I'm Tori Amos and I'm a hot, freaky Catholic girl. And... I had your picture, you know, above my bed when I was growing up and blah, 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 blah. And she never actually came out and said that they did it. But, I mean, the implication of the story, she kind of arched an eyebrow at a crucial point of the story to let you know that, you know, he delivered the fan letter. You know, he returned the fan letter years later, clearly. So, you know, that Jordan Knight is still getting all of that. It's good times. So you saw the New Kids when you were what, like 10?
When I was 9, I think.
At the Kingdom?
At the Kingdom.
I had a friend of mine that worked security at that concert.
Oh, I've told you the story how we were in the very last row and I was like
covered in buttons.
Yeah, covered in buttons at the top of the Kingdom. I could touch the ceiling of the Kingdom.
Yeah, my friend Brandon worked security at the Kingdom, 80,000 people, and said that that was the loudest sound he has ever experienced in his life was working the New Kids concert. Not from the band.
Fifth grade girls. I mean, of course.
That's what I'm saying. Not even from the band, but from 80. How many people at the Kingdom? Was it 80,000? Some huge number of people at the Kingdom, and it was like some ungodly number of people.
It was huge.
It was, and they're all under the age of 10, and young girls have got, it's like that frequency that can like shake the fillings out of your teeth. I remember even at the Spice Girls, and that was only like 10,000 people, I saw the Spice Girls, and yes I did, and screw you. I saw the Spice Girls, and it was just all of these girls, endless glow sticks, and like a lot of, it was just, you know, that, but that's not, it's so loud that you feel like your eyebrows are going to rattle out. Anyway, so there you go. So we will play these top five New Kids on the Block songs to celebrate the birthday of Jordan Knight. And Sarah will give her running commentary. So, Tim, you want to go ahead and count these down?
With honorable mention, going to Cover Girl.
Let me make sure these are all... Okay.
Is
this live? Yeah. All right, so you're going to give it... Let me skip forward here.
Flawless, right?
Come on, you gotta...
I'm listening.
It's time for pithy commentary.
Normally, I
would insert that. Sarah's mouthing every word and bouncing back and forth.
I know all of these songs.
Okay, what album
is this
from, do you know?
This is from Hangin' Tough. An album, let's see, I have where it was released from like 1986.
I can tell because this is where Donnie Wahlberg is wearing the homeboy shirt.
Mm-hmm.
This is that era.
This song, I wanted to make the honorable mention, actually, Popsicle from their first album, their self-titled album, but I couldn't find the video, or the music anywhere.
Okay. How does the song make you feel, Sarah?
I love the New Kids on the Block. I had all their videos, all their t-shirts.
I'm not making fun, I'm just saying, it's so rare that, you know, you get a chance to weigh in on the top five in any meaningful way.
I know, but I don't want to talk over it.
Oh, you don't want to sully.
I just kind of want to
listen. All right. Oh, I'm looking at the video now on YouTube. This is where he's brought a small girl up on stage and he's singing to her.
I wanted to be that girl so bad.
And you weren't.
When I was standing in the Kingdom, yeah, they call one seat number and they have one rose and they bring you up and they sing, I'll Be Loving You Forever. And I thought it was me and I was like brushing my hair.
Oh, that's so sad.
Down. Yeah.
Well, our friend Joni took her daughter Sydney to see Green Day. And there's this thing at Green Day where they bring somebody up on stage to play guitar. And then Billy Joe signs the guitar and gives it to you.
Yep.
And Sydney, she's like this cute little rock girl. She's like 10 years old, totally been practicing. She's adorable. And she actually learned how to play Holiday on the electric guitar. And they called a girl three seats over.
Oh, no.
And she was like, she's totally going to kill herself over it someday. You know it's true. All right, there you go. There's Cover Girl, New Kids on the Block.
I can't believe
this is happening, by the way.
Why not?
Just because. All right, go ahead.
At number five is Funky.
I'm sorry, this is what? This is Funky, Funky Christmas?
They rap. All right, we're going
to get funky tonight. This is the worst thing I've ever heard. I'm skipping ahead. Santa Claus. This is is all just gibber. This is taken live from our studio hall, by the way, because I wasn't going to. I was not going to go on iTunes and pay a dollar for funky, funky Christmas.
Well, this is off of their Christmas album, Merry, Merry Christmas, and they also had this song on it called This One's for the Children.
I have the 45 for This One's for the Children.
Yeah, and they're all harmonizing. And
I've never listened to it.
And it's a whole bunch of kids playing and holding hands.
Oh,
God. And it was like for UNICEF or something.
They've all got terrible poodle hair. We're playing these off of YouTube because, again, I wasn't going to pay for them, and I didn't have them laying around. You don't have them on CD, probably.
No, I have all the tapes. Like the VHS tapes.
Listen to that. It's simultaneously dated and horrible. The white kid saying, "Oh yeah," in Manner of Flavor Flav. All right. I can't even really...
Playling.
Okay, I have to turn this off.
Okay.
All right, so there you go. That's funky, funky Christmas.
At number four is The Right Stuff.
Oh, I remember this, actually. There we go.
Everyone knows
Fidelity.
This song.
The Right Stuff.
You know the Weird Al Yankovic, The White Stuff.
No, I know this. I know this probably word for word. Because it was on MTV all the time, constantly. You couldn't get away from it. Counting down the top five New Kids on the Block songs, unbelievably.
Baby. This is awesome.
Uh-huh.
It still sounds good.
You see, this is how it begins. You sound like me now. Because this is me being the fogey, playing a Poison song and going, it doesn't sound dated at all, it still sounds fresh. Doesn't sound anything like that, but I understand how in your nostalgic head it sounds that way. That's how I am.
This is when the boy bands could actually sing.
Please. This is when
and
boy bands had talent.
They were very talented. I love this spoken word. You get to watch the dance, don't you?
Yeah. It's an edgy black and white here. They're right. So this was their first big single, wasn't it?
It was one of the X's off of Hangin' Tough. They had six number one singles off of that album.
You're retarded. All right, counting down the top five.
Now, this is hands down my favorite song. This next one.
Now, what did you rank these according to?
I think just by popularity.
All right.
At number three.
Counting down the top five New Kids on the Block songs according to Sarah Dillon.
Number three is Tonight.
This is a montage of their two big hits.
Please don't go. I know all of this. And now I'll be loving you forever. I know all of this song.
Oh,
God.
As long as you've got the right stuff.
This. I remember thinking back in the day that this song had kind of a Beatles feel to it now. I realize I should have been killed as soon as that thought went into my head.
Like something from the White Album.
Yeah.
Break it down. That's totally Beatles.
Yeah, see? That little horn section there? I was a dishwasher when this song came out. I wasn't on the radio full time.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything. It just stopped playing. Well, there you go.
You didn't let it buffer?
I was a dishwasher, though, working in obviously washing dishes in a kitchen at a restaurant.
You restarted the music, and then you restarted yourself. Go ahead.
And it's just stopping. It's not that, God doesn't want us to play that song. But anyway, the point is, I was working at a country station. I wasn't yet working in Top 40.
And as a dishwasher.
In a kitchen. With an onion on my belt, as was the style of the time. No, but, and the radio was on, and just then as now, it was the same 10 songs played over and over and over and over again, and I would hear that song about four times a shift. That and Love and Affection by Nelson.
Oh.
Oh, and Jerk Out by Morris Day and the Time. And it was constantly playing, so I will always associate that song with the smell of, like, bad detergent and the big Hobart... Take off your hand. To take off your hand if you bring the door down at the wrong time. And the scar in my hand, which I got in that kitchen. So, yeah. All right. Not a bad song, though. All things considered. Not a bad song.
And number two is Hangin'
Tough. This is taking us like half an hour to do. We are counting down.
It's that good.
And it never... As many times as I've said this, it still sounds ridiculous. We're counting down the top five New Kids on the Block songs for Sarah Dillon. Number two, what?
Hangin' Tough.
Oh, God. This is the worst, though. This is
the
worst.
I love the police whistle. Come on, let's go.
This is again where he's wearing the homeboy shirt and a pork pie hat.
Johnny Wahlberg is a homeboy.
Okay. I feel so bad for my black brothers and sisters that their culture has been appropriated by things like this. I do realize, by the way, that this song was written by, produced by, engineered by a black man, but still. I mean, it is fair, I guess, that Maurice Starr got all the money on this, but... Oh, God.
And there's the whistle.
Somewhere the law is killing himself, literally with a gun. Because these guys hold like 40 billion records. We're rough. God.
I could use more whistle.
It really does make Crisscross sound like DMX.
Everybody's always talking about who's on top.
Who? Who's talking about
that? I don't know.
Don't cross our path because you're going to get stopped.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
We ain't going to give anybody any slack.
Yeah, they're going to give a beat down. Oh, God. They're going to check fools who misjudged and stuff.
Well, they did come back after Hangin' Tough.
Is that with the...
With the next song, actually.
All right.
Their comeback album is the one that I went to see.
Oh, God. Here's this hideous sequence with Donnie Wahlberg swinging a bat in an alley somewhere. Like he's putting fools on their back or something. All right, I have to stop this. There you go. Okay, and it's done. Counting down the top five, longest top five ever. Top five New Kids on the Block songs, for certain, because Jordan Knight turned 36 years old today. Are we ready?
Yes. At long last, at number one is Step by Step.
Step by Step.
Yeah.
Ooh, baby. Gonna get to your girl.
So, you know this should be number one.
It's so sad that I know all of these songs.
Step by Step.
Yeah. Oh my God, you can see the keytar. I mean, they're not even playing one, but you can just see it in your head. This is the video where they're on the staircase doing that stupid up and down
thing. Oh, yeah. No, and see, this was, everyone thought that they were going to be a one-hit wonder with Hangin' Tough. Like, how could they top Hangin' Tough?
How could they top Hangin' Tough, Sarah?
Step by step.
Wouldn't one of these guys put it to Tiffany? Wouldn't Jonathan Knight...
It was Jonathan Knight.
...given it to Tiffany, whatever her name was? Tiffany, I think we're alone now. Oh, and there's Donnie Wahlberg wearing an iced T-shirt. That just gets worse and worse.
Are they on the treadmill?
Oh, and now he's weightlifting. Oh, God. All right.
He looks like he's about 60 now.
Yeah.
Really think it doesn't matter.
Okay. You don't have any anecdotes about this? No observations to make?
No, well, this was the tour I went on.
Or does the song just speak for itself?
I think the song speaks for itself. Okay. No, it was my favorite album.
All right.
And this was their last decent album. When they tried to make their comeback in 93 with Dirty Dog.
Yeah, they're trying to be all ghetto. Yeah.
Wait, you have to get to the countdown.
Oh, what point of the song? The song's like 5.5 minutes long.
I think it's coming up soon.
Can I skip forward?
Yes.
No one else.
Oh. Here we go.
Make sure to commit acts of violence.
We can have lots of fun.
Step two. There's so much we can do. Step three.
Right.
It's a new
day.
Jordan. Four. I can give you more.
Joey.
Step five.
How many steps are there?
Time is right.
Four. Okay. And. Okay. There we go.
Hello. Oh,
I actually feel little pieces of my brain melting away while we were doing that.
Oh,
all right, there you go. I'm sorry.
I'm reliving a childhood crush.
Has it made you all peek it? And, all right.
Seeing Donnie Wahlberg dance around in that pork pie hat. Whew.
Okay. 503, let's see. I don't see, now I'm getting all this New Kids on the Block mail, which is pointless. All right. Rick, please don't ever, ever, ever let Sarah do another top five. I had to pull along on I-205 and vomit. That's Russ. There you go. Let's see. Rick, I am 24 and a girl, and I do not know the words to these songs. I do remember these kids from their heyday, but I never liked them. Why do you know the words, Rick? Why do you own the 45? God damn you. Your hippie schoolgirl fan, P.S. Sarah, is hot. All right, there you go. Okay. Well, should we break?
But there's no top in that.
Well, can we... No, it's true. Can we break and find out with the deal with Jim Roop?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I'll call her.
Let's... I love subject lines. Gay, gay, gay. All right, let's do the... Take a break. We'll come back. Find out the deal with Jim Roop. Do the City Desk tabloid recap, all of that. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. I gotta scrub out my ears. You stay there. Don't be back after this. Here's a little Aussie for you. This will take it all away, kids. Hi there.
Okay.
How you doing?
I think I know where Roof is.
I think there's a good chance that this station terrifies people sometimes.
Roop is probably at the 60th anniversary celebration of Tommy's original world-famous hamburgers at Beverly and Rampart today.
Oh, Tommy Burger.
Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. That's probably where he is.
Remind me to ask him about that if we get him on. What is it? Hi there. This is the Rick Emerson Show, by the way. It's 503-733-2970.
Laura forgot again to call him.
But is she going to call him now?
Yeah, she's going to call him.
I see. This is Laura Caviezel at CNN?
Yes.
What's her deal? What is her damage?
What's your damage, Laura?
All right. We're going to quit listening to New Kids songs. It's making me talk that way. It's 503. It's fine. Mineral water. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Okay, so long story short, we were supposed to be having Jim Roop from CNN Radio on like an hour ago to talk about something or other. Laura at CNN once again failed to confirm and confirmed to fail. And so we will be attempting to get him on here a while. We'll go to the City Desk here with Tim Riley in just a few. But this is, so we've got this, this is from LATimes.com. Now, who here has gone to Tommy Burger? Oh, you've missed out.
Not I.
Oh, Tommy Burger is fantastic.
I do like the fries.
Man, and it's, well, you see, yeah, as a vegan, it's going to be difficult to appreciate a place like this. Much as I see you.
But everyone I know eats them, so it doesn't bother me if people are eating them in the car.
I'm just saying, it's like In-N-Out Burger. To me, there is sort of a holy trinity of Tommy's, Fat Burger, In-N-Out Burger. Those are the, I mean, in terms of like a non-Oregonian.
You should go to Pullman and get a Cougar Country Burger. It is the best thing I've ever had in my life.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, see, this, see can very easy, we could very easily be sidetracked by this whole hamburger discussion. But to me, I mean, again, Portland is kind of its own thing. It's like its own... Like that carafe place that we went to a couple, which I have now been back to that carafe place. Here's the thing. We went to Carafe, which is this restaurant. And this is not a plug, by the way. This is not there's no consideration here. There's no money or anything exchanging hands. I am being offered nothing in exchange for this commentary. This is simply me making an editorial comment as the host of this, the Rick Emerson Radio Show. We went to this place called Carafe, which is down the street here with our good friend Bruce Agler. And then Sarah and I had lunch with Jolie, and it's... It really is like a $9 cheeseburger, but it really is just the best thing I've ever had in my entire life. It surpasses just any food that has ever been created anywhere. It was just unbelievable, at least in terms of a cheeseburger. But it was just really great. But in terms of like extra Oregon food, in other words, food that is not here. In-N-Out Burger, of course, is legendary. Fat Burger is legendary as well in certain parts of California. And Tommy's, which Laura introduced me to, because I had never gone there until I met her. But she sort of saddled with a whole bunch of family in Burbank. And so this is like the one upside to going to visit the family in Burbank, is that Tommy's is right there. And you just get this a hamburger and or hot dog that just has like 900 gallons of chili and 40 pounds of cheese on it. I mean, it's unbelievable. You take it and you can just feel your heart screaming for mercy as you eat it, which is the mark of a good...
And people grab two handfuls of those paper towels. Don't give you a napkin, use paper towels.
It's the messiest food. Carl's Jr. loves to talk about that. I ain't got nothing on Tommy's. It's fantastic, though. It is off the charts good. Rick, what is this? Do I detect Sarah getting soft on Scotty J? Such things as, he really is good looking, and now she doesn't want you tormenting him. She didn't seem to mind when you relentlessly tormented Kyle, now did she? What's going on between Sarah and Scotty anyway? Inquiring minds want to know. Sarah?
I just feel bad for him. We have been...
This is your rebuttal time. This is your equal time.
We have been so mean to him. We've made fun of every single thing that he's tried to accomplish in his life. We've made fun of, of him being 40.
All of his attempts to better himself.
We've made fun of him being 40, being an intern, working for us for free. We've made fun of the...
On a, being a mobile DJ.
Of the clip art on his self-made business. We make fun of him being a DJ. We have a picture of him in his underwear on our website.
Wearing a sombrero, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel bad, and plus he does such a good job doing production, I'm afraid we're just going to scare him off.
That's okay. Well, look, if he can survive this, he can survive anything. Rick, you need a studio webcam that we can all partake in during your show, like Art Bell, except with a hot Sarah instead of an old fat guy with glasses. Okay, there you go. I think that might be Jim Roop calling us right now.
Ooh.
Let's look, shall we? Let's listen in. Behind the curtain.
Hey, Jim, how are you? Oh, thanks for making
There you go. See, hear that? You hear how quickly and efficiently Sarah answers the phones? That's what I'm talking about. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Live from Los Angeles, the city of angels, it is Jim Roop. How are you, sir?
I'm well. Good afternoon.
Let me ask you this question just off the record. There's no one listening. What is up with Laura at CNN and her only scattershot ability to book you correctly?
I think she's in love now. I think she has a boyfriend.
With you? Oh, with someone else.
Oh, not with me, heaven forbid. Oh, gosh.
What is that?
Nothing.
That's what I'm looking her up.
That's it. Sarah's got to find a picture.
Nothing to do with her looks.
Uh-huh.
He must be off the clock by now anyway.
Should I just make up my own reason?
She's a very nice lady.
She's a sweet spirit.
She's
you're a really great gal.
She has a good personality.
She's a great personality.
A magnetic personality.
Yes.
Well, this has suddenly become very awkward.
What happened?
Nothing. Okay. We just, I was just joking that perhaps she had a crush on you and you seemed, a little, horrified.
There's no way she'd have a crush.
Why is that, Jim Roop? You seem like you're a successful man. You've got to.
I've seen pictures of the mustache.
Yes, you're not an unattractive man. You're at the you're outstanding in your chosen field.
Well, that's not really my picture.
I'm just it's Gary. It's a morphed picture of Gary Baumgarten.
Came with a wall. Yeah, Gary Baumgarten.
Okay.
Morphed picture of Baumgarten.
All right. A couple of things. First of all, Tim Riley speculated, although we found out later it was just a booking glitch. Tim Riley speculated that we did not have you on the phone because you were in L.A. partaking in the Tommy Burger anniversary.
Well, that was yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
Yes, it was yesterday.
Sarah Dillon has not ever gone to Tommy Burger, and I was trying to explain to her how Tommy's is just, it's unbelievable.
It is, and the chili by itself is terrible. The burgers by themselves are nothing outstanding, but you put them both together, and it's amazing.
No, it's you combine the two, and they do. It achieves a sort of exponential greatness. You're right. It's all in the way that you combine those things.
Right.
It is fantastic. I was saying earlier that there is this holy trinity in California of Fatburger, Tommy's, and of course In-N-Out.
Absolutely.
Which In-N-Out is sort of the gold standard, I think, for most people.
In honor of Tommy's, I had In-N-Out yesterday.
Okay, fantastic.
The weirdest one is the Tommy's over by the Van Nuys Airport, which is right across the street from the Budweiser in Keebler Plant. So you get all those three smells together: Budweiser, Tommy's, and Keebler cookies.
There you go.
All right. Oh, God.
Food groups.
So I was talking. We were talking about this today. That this immigration thing has sort of become a self-fulfilling prophecy in terms of news. And here's what I mean by that: they took a story that I only pretended to care about for a while, and that I think everybody kind of just pretended to care about. They sort of gave it lip service because we thought that immigration was, and no disrespect to anyone, but we thought that it was sort of just another news cycle, like alligators and the sharks and the missing blonde girls, and we thought that everybody would sort of move off of it. But they've now been talking about it so long, and it achieved this sort of critical mass to now where it has become this story that everybody is invested in. Bush goes on there. We thought about it yesterday. He's going to be allegedly sending some troops down there to look pretty, I guess, standing at the border. And now there is this legislation they're trying to push through. They still haven't used the word amnesty, have they?
Yes, they have.
Have they? And so it's a graduated sort of amnesty. It's sort of a.
They are no. The groups like the We Are America group that about which the story was today.
Yeah.
They're for flat out blanket amnesty, immediate citizenship. That's what they are for. That's what they want. And That's why it's so odd that they think they're going to get a million new citizens and a million voters by November.
Is that kind of, is that really the, and I never really thought about it until just now, actually, when you said this, is that the sort of underpinning of all of this, the fact that if they know if they can get all these guys naturalized, it's a jillion new voters in their back pocket?
That's what they want, yes.
That's
the best way to control the government is to have the voters on your side.
And I never really thought about that until just now, that you got to figure that all of those people who are undocumented workers, as they say, all those illegal immigrants, they're probably the most of them not going to be Republicans, especially because the Republicans are so either ambivalent or opposed to this sort of amnesty.
Well, they're anti-amnesty. That's no secret.
And so if the left, or if the people who at least are not Republicans, can convert all these people, then suddenly that's enough to start swinging every election, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But there are people that are changing their tune a little bit. Even Mayor Photo Op yesterday on CNN was saying how he really is for a graduated plan or a guest worker plan that with a path to citizenship. He's backed off of the amnesty bus lately. So a lot of people are changing their tunes now. So it's going to be interesting to see where all these coalitions go. Once the people in their corner start to back off a bit.
Here's a question I have. If we blindly assume that this figure of 11 million illegal people is correct.
Someone can tell me how they got that figure.
I said from, like, the get-go, and I put this right on Lisa Goddard when she said it was 11 million eyes. That's just a figure that somebody has just pulled out of one of their orifices. It's one of those figures. It's like when they talk about the number of homeless people. They say, well, there's currently 500,000 homeless people, and they have no way of knowing. I'm not saying it's not true.
Oh, Lou Dobbs makes a lot of this stuff up.
You have no way to confirm nor deny that statistic. This is completely without any sort of logistical or mathematical underpinning, I think.
Well, I asked someone a few weeks ago, did someone just go to the strawberry fields, count the people there, and then say, let's multiply that by how many states
right. Per
agriculture and come up with that 12 million, 11 million figure? Or did somebody really go around and count? I don't understand where they got that figure. It just all of a sudden appeared one day that we had 11 to 12 million illegal immigrants in this country.
I guess my question, though, is let's assume even just for the moment that it's true. Let's say it's 10 million. So we have 10 million people, and they work towards this graduated amnesty or this, you know, however it is. I was talking earlier about this thing that Blockbuster did a couple years ago, like 5-10 years ago, where they did like a one-day late fee amnesty, where they said, like, you know, just bring in your movies that you had sitting underneath your bed for 5 years, and we won't charge you a late fee, but from now on, we're gonna start screwing you on it. With this, are we going to have to then fall into doing this every 10 years, where every 10 years we got to go, well, okay, we'll do it one more time?
Already done it once with President Reagan.
Yeah.
Remember?
I actually don't.
Yeah, we already did this once, this whole amnesty thing. I mean, it wasn't as widespread as
right.
I think there were only like 6 million at that time. We did it once with President Reagan, so now we're expected to do it again. So, yeah, I mean, there seems to be some sort of pattern here. It's at an unprecedented level, though. It really is. I mean, more people have come across the border and not gone back than ever before, I think.
All right.
But based on what I've heard from Border Patrol people and the immigration folks is that people are coming over, but they're just not going back like they used to.
Sure.
Less migrant anymore.
Well, and again, it is, as I said earlier, if they really want to crack down on this, until they start shafting these companies that hire people like this, it's just never going to go away.
That's really, you're right. That's really all they have to do is just enforce the law.
Yeah.
You know, and they arrested 8 people yesterday from the Department of Water and Power here because they weren't legal.
Right.
And so that's a start. 8. Yeah, you know, well, what do we have? 11 million.
Between them and the Minuteman, they could probably get an even dozen by the end of the year.
Let's give it a shot.
Yeah. See, once again, Jim Roop, a question that has lingered long in the hearts of Americans for many decades, you and I have solved in about 7 minutes.
We could fix the world, sir.
It's true. Thank you, Jim Roop. We will talk to you soon, my friend.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Have some chili for me. There you go. There's Jim Roop live from Los Angeles. It's 503-733-2970. All right. Now, why is the phone ringing again?
People are calling.
Is that just... No, but that's the hotline.
Oh,
is it just some weird callback thing? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Okay, he's gone. Now, did you hear what I heard about the Lurk Wiesel thing? Where I was joking.
No, that was weird.
Because I said, blah, 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 you know, Laura Kabizel, who we love, by the way, CNN.
Well, because I initially thought he didn't like her, but then he said that she wouldn't like me.
It's all very strange because he noted, I said, well, she's a little distracted. Her booking has been a little flaky. And he said, which normally is a stellar job, but he said, I think she's distracted. I think she's in love. And I said, with you? And he kind of went, he kind of made sort of a, oh, no, kind of a, oh, Nelly, kind of a sound. Mm-hmm. And I said, what? I said, well, is she not? I mean, what? She seems like a very attractive woman. He said, oh, it's not because of her looks. And then he just sort of let it sit out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So now I'm all, now it's one of those things. It's kind of, every time I talk to Jim, I'm going to be wondering about that. It's going to be lurking in the back.
That was really awkward. He's usually really, you know, level.
Yes.
I kind of dropped the ball on that one.
It's kind of, you know.
I wonder.
There's all of this intrigue with the CNN people.
Yeah.
First it was Pat St. Clair. Then Lisa Goddard clearly has a huge crush on me. And then there's a business between Laura and Jim. It's all it's like Peyton Place down there.
You know that Lisa would never, ever call the show again if she heard the way you talk about her.
I talk about her in nothing but glowing and reverential terms.
I am going to record you talking about how she has a crush on you and play it for her sometime when she calls.
Look, I don't want to embarrass her by bringing to the surface
You're
something.
Embarrassing
clearly,
her now.
I'm not embarrassing her. I have the utmost respect for her as a person and a journalist. I'm just saying it's clear that she's hopelessly in love with me. But we've all been there, Sarah. We've
yes,
all had that unrequited love.
You've broken my heart many times.
Okay. let's go to the city desk, kids. Here's Tim Riley.
From high top to bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the City Desk News. BT Riley reporting. Only 32% of all ballots, the lowest in 46 years. Oh, but I don't have to pretend to care about this story anymore, do I? This is the election thing.
No, screw that.
Oh, okay, let me throw this away. I'm
done.
Sorry, I don't know what I was
doing.
We're
done with that. No, that served its purpose.
Okay, very well.
Thank you. All right.
Let's talk about the Da Vinci Code, shall we?
Yeah.
Oh, it's getting tons of praise and... Actually, not.
You know, you're still in positive news mode. You can snap out of it now.
Okay. Well, let's play one of these clips, shall we? In this scene from The Da Vinci Code, Professor Robert Langdon, played by Tom Hanks, talks to a detective played by Gene Reno at a murder scene.
All right. The question is, before I play this clip, will or will not Tom Hanks have some embarrassing accents that he puts on?
Well, he already has an embarrassing hairpiece.
Really? Does he?
Oh,
that's right, because it's all forward. Because normally he has that kind of fro thing going on. All right. Here is Tom Hanks from The Da Vinci Code.
The Vitruvian Man. It's one of Leonardo da Vinci's most famous sketches.
Yes, yes.
And the star on his skin?
The pinnacle.
And its meaning?
The pinnacle is a pagan religious icon.
Devil worship.
God. No. The pinnacle before that. This is a symbol for Venus.
Page and Clyde Lewis.
Represents the female half of all things.
You're telling me that Sonia's last act on Earth was to draw a goddess symbol on his chest? Why?
Captain Fash, obviously I can't tell you why.
Well, that's gripping, isn't it?
Oh, my God. So it's just going to be Tom Hanks figuring out... I don't know anything about the book.
Have you ever... Imagine sitting and watching someone do a word find. That's what this movie's going to be, because that's what the book is.
Is there anything intriguing in the book?
No.
No, it's too hard to understand.
No, the book is crap. The book is doggerel, and again, please, let me just say, and this is the last time I'm going to say this, for the record, I am not trying to be a snob about it, nor an elitist. I'm not disliking it because it's popular. I disliked it long before that. Because I got, like, crap taste like nobody's business. You know that, Sarah.
Mm-hmm.
All I read is crap. But there's good crap, and then there's terrible crap. And this falls into the latter category. It really is like watching someone else solve The Legend of Zelda. That's what this game is like. Or this movie is like. That's what it is. It's
That's
like
what
watching,
that clip sounded like.
It's like watching someone else figure out a puzzle. I mean, I guess it's gripping if you're doing it. Not so gripping to watch somebody else figure out like that day's jumble in the Oregonian.
So you have none of the clues or the knowledge. It's just all in Tom Hanks' head, and he's figuring it out.
Yeah, I mean,
reasons that you don't really understand.
I guess the theory is at least in the book. Theoretically, you could maybe be Agatha Christie style or Jessica Fletcher style, the piecing it together as you read, maybe. At least in the book, I guess you could say that. That as you're reading it, you're like, oh, but wait, let me look back. And you look back and you go, oh, but if he, oh, I get it. And then whatever. At least you got that in the movie, you got nothing. I guess watching someone else figure something out. It just sounds so tedious and
ponderous. You have to think during this movie.
Yeah,
it's too much.
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, by the way, France is also the home of the renowned Louvre Museum, which plays an integral part in the Da Vinci Code. That's one of the reasons why Oscar winner Ron Howard said he jumped at the chance to direct this film.
I knew it was important that we shoot there. And in the back of my mind, it was a life experience that I wanted to have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was one of the reasons I wanted to make the movie, was that I wanted to be able to say I was one of those rare people that got to shoot inside the Louvre. It just about never, ever happens.
Meanwhile, a union is backing Joe Lieberman for re-election. It's the International Union of Electricians and Communications Workers. Lieberman says he needs the support because he's getting challenged on both sides.
It ain't over till it's over. I'm used to having Republican opposition. This is the first time in a while I've had Democratic opposition. But, you know, that's what it means to live in a free society.
He needs union support because most voters don't agree with his backing of the Iraq war.
Based on my record and my seniority and my willingness to stand up and fight, stand by principle,
he sounds like a
I'm very encouraged by my meetings with people all around Connecticut that they're going to give me the honor of serving them.
He sounds very encouraged, doesn't he? He's a guy who, even when he has won something, even when he is victorious, sounds like he just suffered the most crushing defeat. I think it is actually it's physically impossible for Joe Lieberman to sound happy or peppy. Remember, wasn't he the one that had Joe Mentum?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Joe Mentum. Joe Mentum is on the roll. We will be victorious. I was never able to find any Joe Mentum material. I looked.
Or T-shirts.
I tried so hard. Because there was this website for a while that sold... and they would sell, like, remainders. They would sell... there used to be a website that did this for rock concerts, where at the end of a tour, whatever, like some band, whatever, Interpol finishes their tour, they get 500 million shirts in a warehouse somewhere. They give them to this website. The website unloads them for 50 cents on the dollar or whatever. There was this website that was up for, like, a day, where they sold... Because, like, as soon as the campaign is over, as soon as the results are announced, bam, all the campaign material is outdated and is pointless. And they were selling Joe Mentum stuff. And it was, I swear to God, it was sold out before I could get it because everybody else had the same idea I did, that they wanted to wear it in a zany and ironic fashion. So if you ever come across any Joe Mentum stuff, you pass that Rick's way.
All right, want one more?
Why not?
This is Democracy on the Mark. Verizon Communications said it did not give the government records of millions of phone calls, joining fellow phone companies Bell South in disputing key assertions in the USA Today article. The denials leave open the possibility that the National Security Agency requested customer calling data for long-distance companies like AT&T, Sprint, and MCI. Who has these companies anymore? And not from companies that were mainly local phone companies such as Verizon.
Now, is Verizon... I don't know anything about Verizon. Is Verizon... I thought they were nationwide. Are they just a regional company?
No, I think they're nationwide.
It's all very confusing. So, Bell South and Verizon... Okay, so, like, last week, somebody reported, like the New York Times or somebody, right, reported that the NSA was...
USA Today.
USA Today. The American Pravda was reporting that the Verizon or whoever had turned over our phone records to the man.
Mm-hmm.
And... What, and so now they're denying it?
Yeah.
Now, okay. This seems like a pretty... whatever. I'm not saying that they're lying. I'm just saying it seems... I'd like to know... I wonder if this is like where they... I wonder, and again, I'm just speculating now as part of the news segment of this program. I wonder if it is, like, for example, that Bell South themselves did not turn over the records, but if they contracted it out to a third party to do, so that they can legally and honestly say that they did not do it.
Oh, but like a bunch of temps?
I do wonder if there was some data collection company that was responsible for turning it over to the NSA so that Bell South has plausible deniability. All right.
Well, a story in USA Today last Thursday said Verizon, AT&T Incorporated, Bell South had complied with an NSA request with tens of millions of customer phone records after the 9/11 attacks. The report sparked a national debate on federal surveillance tactics. Then the U.S. restored full diplomatic ties with Libya Monday regarding the longtime pariah nation for scrapping its weapons of mass destruction programs and signaling incentives for Iran and North Korea to do the same. Culminating a year-long reapproachment with the OPEC member, Washington will reopen an embassy and remove Libya from a list of...
Didn't Libya blow up planes?
Yep, they do.
Isn't that kind of their raison d'etre? They blow things up and kill people?
Yep.
And so we're giving them... so they're okay, though, now. Yeah. They're fine because they haven't done it in a while.
No.
So if you blow up planes, if it, as long as you...
Well, they handed over two suspects for the 1988 bombing of Pan Am Flight 103 over Lockerbie, Scotland, and accepted responsibility for the bombing and agreed to pay $2.7 billion to the families of victims.
Okay. At least, and we finally figured out how to spell Muammar Gaddafi's name. So there you go. All right. Let's real quickly talk to our good friend Bruce Egler, former godlike program director of this program. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you this afternoon?
I'm fine. I can't figure this Bell South thing.
Well, that's why I called. I don't know about Bell South, actually. But Verizon, it appears that the problem there is Verizon claims they never turned any records over. But you see, in the last year, Verizon also bought MCI.
Uh-huh.
So it's apparently MCI that actually turned records over.
Oh, see, so there you go. So it isn't technically, it is.
So it is Verizon because they, you know, they inherited MCI. But so, yeah, it's, you know, they're splitting hairs saying, oh, we never turned records over. But, you know, in fact, they now
that's own. The whole thing. It's the total plausible deniability where they technically.
Yeah, a couple of other things. One, I tell you, you got your listeners well-motivated during the coin segment. I was trying to call in myself and made a dedicated effort for 15 minutes, and the lines never did open up. So you must have had lots and lots of people calling.
That's what I'm saying. So we will watch tonight as coin spins that to talk radio straw into television gold.
Although I think next time we have to train the listeners that the most important part probably is not so much to sound intelligent about the issue, but to make sure they say the call letters and the station slogan more.
We had a couple. We had that one guy that said, Rick, thank you for taking the call.
That's what made me think of it. I said, well, we should have gotten all the callers to do that.
Yeah, next, well, see, this clearly, coin, they're kind of lazy, and because we're 35 feet away, they come here.
Yeah.
So
and one more thing, I didn't catch you before you talked to Laura earlier today, but I was going to give you a Tom Friedman quote to work with her, so maybe you can use it tomorrow. In today's column, and again, you'll remember Tom Friedman was a big supporter of Bush going into Iraq.
Right.
His comment at the very top of today's column is that President Bush has slipped in one poll to 29% approval. Frankly, I can't believe that. These polls can't possibly be accurate. I mean, really, ask yourself. How could there still be 29% of the people who approve of this president?
Well, I think we'll probably at least about this tomorrow, so I will be sure to bring it up.
Yes.
Excellent. There you go. Bruce Egler, ladies and gentlemen, former godlike program director of this program. Should we take a break here? Let's take a break. We'll come back, try to wrap up a little bit from the tabloid. That was Democracy on the Mark. Hey, do you have that cut number I gave you earlier from the AV?
I do.
Can we play that?
Uh-huh.
Tim, do you have that? Oh, we don't.
Right.
Well, I'll just...
Grab what?
Here's a failed bit. You want to hear the anatomy of a failed bit?
Some of you don't play.
All right. So we have this... I'll get to it in just a second. I was going to go over the Inquirer, but again, the news is developing faster than we can stay on top of it. I was going to read this bit from the Inquirer, Paul McCartney in Marriage Crisis. But see... It's too late because they already broke up this morning. Like, it was in the paper this morning. Like, wife... So this was going to be my kooky... I was going to have this wacky ad hoc bit called Paul McCartney's one-legged soon-to-be ex-wife leaves him. And the theme was... See? See how that's funny? Because she's got one leg. But I was going to go right to the hook. And we don't have a way to fast forward to the hook here.
So it was doomed to fail from the beginning.
Yeah. Much like their wedding.
It's supposed to be the most expensive divorce in British history.
Well, he's worth like $40 billion.
It's all the media's fault.
See, this is all slow and ponderous now. Now, but imagine that you're not hearing any of this. See, I had this in the Inquirer. Wife moves out, takes the baby. Blah, blah, blah. Heather burst into tears a few weeks ago, said she wished Paul had never been a Beatle. Okay, and then I would say, hey, here's Paul McCartney's one-legged ex-wife leaves him. Watch.
Lean on me when you're not strong.
See, that's gold. That's gold. You know you laughed, you bastards.
Is this between you singing to her?
No, well... You know, what am I going to do? What am I going to be some other a-hole playing When I'm 64? All right, so there you go. See someone to lean on. One leg. Gold, Jerry. Gold. All right. Here, let me read you this outdated article. Paul McCartney's going to need help to save his marriage.
Please say it was an italic.
No, it was in all caps. His wife, Heather, is so fed up playing second fiddle to the 64-year-old music legend, she's admitted to a friend she regrets ever marrying him. She can't bear living in the shadow of his huge fame. And look.
His huge fame.
Hey, look, Hoppy, you're lucky to have gotten a Beatle. Jesus God. Can't bear living in the shadow of his huge fame. You've got one leg.
So it's a smaller shadow.
Yeah. Listen to that. In your face, everybody who's not us on the radio. All right. Blah, 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 blah. She's best known. She hates the fact that she's best known for being Paul McCartney's wife. Yeah, we'd all hate that life. Shut your yap. Go back to being somebody nobody heard of. You got one leg. You nabbed a Beatle. Do you not understand that? All right. Lean on me. See? One leg.
We all need somebody to
lean on. Ha! All right. We're going to next see in a radio correspondent, Jim Roop and McCarthy. Who else do we have?
Lisa Goddard.
Yes, Lisa Goddard. That's who we want. And so forth. The Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and Helena Bonham Carter-esque looking Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, Tim Riley. Coming out tomorrow, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine. Like us, the three world famous Phil Hendry Show coming up at 7. We'll see you in 21 hours. As always, don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. See you tomorrow. Bye.
Right across his posterior.
Attention FM DJs in the greater Portland area. Your daily show prep is now concluded. Thanks for listening.